This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a gift to be with all of you on this Sunday after Thanksgiving and to have an extra week between Thanksgiving and the beginning of Advent. So today we celebrate the church holiday, the Reign of Christ, or Christ the King Sunday. It brings to a culmination and a close the Christian year. Next week, as the first Sunday of Advent, will be the first Sunday of a new Christian year. So what better Sunday to bring to a close our journey through the Bible together? We have been reading the Bible together as a congregation since January, and today we finish with the final chapter of Revelation, and I'm looking forward to celebrating that with you on this Reign of Christ Sunday. Before we get into other announcements, however, I want to take a moment to invite you to sign in and register your attendance. If you're worshiping online, there's a link you can place in your browser that will take you to the registration page. Or here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you'll pass those down and back again, that would be great. If you are visiting with us this morning, perhaps looking for a place to call your church home, I would invite you to share an email address or a phone number and let us reach out to you and begin that conversation. This is a wonderful family faith to belong to. We'd love to get to know you better. If you're a college student or a graduate student, there will be lunch after this service, and we invite you to gather in the back in what we call the Narthex and with Reverend Amy Baxter, and she will take you and treat you to lunch as you get ready to start exams. We'll be praying for you. This evening, our youth will gather at the home of the Barnes Creekmore family for a bonfire. There's information in the bulletin with Emily Robbins' email address. So if you email Emily, she will send you the address, and you're welcome to come, bring friends, bring your parents, bring a comfortable chair to sit on. And that will be from 5 to 7 tonight. Next Sunday begins the season of Advent, and we will start it off with a wreath-making workshop at 4 o'clock downstairs. And that way we'll have our wreaths to take home and the candles to light together throughout the season. We have a shared resource for us to guide our prayer time during Advent, and it focuses on the poetry of E.E. Cummings, and it is available in Reed Hall. There's a table set out with those prayer guides available for you, and we hope that all of us together can share in the journey of Advent through the poetry of E.E. Cummings. But today, it is the Reign of Christ Sunday, and we hear the final chapter in the book of Revelation about that day that God is moving toward even now as we are the people of God moving to that great day. Let us worship together.
Oh, join me in the call to worship found in your bulletin. Creator God, who gives us life, restore our hearts and minds with your boundless love. Let it be so. Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Loving God, we easily forget about the wonder of your love. We begin our days too quickly, failing to thank you for your new mercies. We allow your healing love to fade away from our daily actions. Forgive us for the times we have neglected your outpouring of grace over all people. Reveal to us new ways to share and accept your love. Restore in us a new creation that is willing to be transformed. Remind us that grace is for all people. Lead us to a life of shared grace. Lead us, O loving God. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are
forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. One of the great joys of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Francie and Tom Corcoran bring their daughter before God and the community of faith for baptism.
We
have a word to share about the gown that this lovely little lady is wearing today. In ancient times, it was appropriate when a person had been baptized to put on a new garment that was clean and stainless. It's become the tradition then that it's appropriate for a special gown or dress to be a part of the baptismal service. The dress that was made for Frances Reynolds Fisher for her baptism on February the 10th, 1991, by her grandmother, Carolyn Reynolds Fisher. The two panels of insertion down the front of the dress were on a baby dress belonging to Lalera Fisher, born 1900, who was Francis's great-grandmother. The handmade tatting at the neck and sleeves was on a baby dress worn by Buddy Fisher, born 1928, Francis's grandfather. So we're pleased to put this dress on display for you today.
That's right, and to know the history behind it. My family in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. Yes, we are. And all of this is God's gift to us, offered without price. Francie and Tom, I ask you now on behalf of the whole church these ancient questions of the faith that the generations before us have answered as well as they have brought their children forward for baptism. Do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, say we do.
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, say we do.
We do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to all people? If so, say, we do.
We do.
And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, she may be guided to accept God's grace for herself, to profess her faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, we will.
We will.
And my friends in the congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please say, we do. And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this beautiful child now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that she may grow in service with others. We will pray for her to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom from the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land to which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection, and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away sin and clothe her in righteousness throughout her life, that dying and being raised with Christ, she may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
Amen. Okay. And what name have you given your daughter?
Mary Irwin.
Mary Erwin Corcoran, I baptize you in the name of God the Father who created you, Christ the Son who redeems you, and God the Holy Spirit who lives within you and will be your comforter and advocate all the days of your life. Amen. Okay, Miss Wynn, we're going to invite all the pastors here and your mommy and daddy to come and lay a hand on you. And we'll pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life.
Mary Erwin, may the Holy Spirit working within you,
being born through water and the Spirit,
make you to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Okay, Miss Wynn, you want to take a little walk with me? We're going to go get a closer look at your new family. This is your church family. And all these beautiful faces smiling at you love you already. And they're going to do everything they can to help you know how much God loves you. Some of them may be Sunday school teachers or vacation Bible school leaders, maybe a confirmation mentor. They already love you because you're so sweet. And they want to make a promise to you. So let's listen together as they make their promise to you and to your parents and to God to do everything they can to help you know how much God loves you.
Will the congregation please turn your bulletins to the commendation of welcome and rise and face Mary Erwin. Now it is our joy to welcome our new sister in Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Mary Erwin to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase her faith, confirm her hope, and perfect her in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Mary Erwin, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church, by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Pray before we read scripture. Reading scripture is like being baptized into a new reality. And you heard how traumatic that is. So when we pray, we are inviting someone to take our hand and walk with us into this new place, like the first day of school or the first day at work or the first day in a new neighborhood. We're inviting that presence to come alongside and open our eyes to see what may seem familiar or may seem strange. And yet we now see with God's eyes, hear with God's ears, and then speak with God's words. So let us pray together. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. And from the last chapter of the last book, the book of Revelation, we hear these words. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city. And on either side of the river was the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there will be nothing accursed there anymore. but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there. And God's people will worship. They will see God face to face. God's name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. There's no need of light, of lamp, or sun. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true. For the Lord, the God of the Spirit of the prophets, has sent God's angel to tell God's people what soon must happen. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. See, I am coming soon. The one who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
To be seated, and if there are children here who'd like to come join me up here for a few moments, come on down. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens, and we'll have a special moment together. Good morning. I'm so glad to see all of you. Hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. Tummies full of turkey and green beans and macaroni and cheese. Welcome. So glad to see all of you. Well, today is a pretty special day in our congregation because we have finished reading the Bible together. Can you believe that? We started in January with the book of Genesis right here at the beginning, and then all year long since then, we've been reading all the way through it and talking about it in Sunday school and talking about it in worship. But you know what? We're never finished with the Bible. That's the cool thing, is that we get to read it again and again and again in all different ways, and you all get to read the Bible too. Some of you may have this one. This is in the pews. You have this one? Yeah. This is especially for children. It's got great pictures in it and tells a lot of the wonderful stories of the Bible. I've got lots of different Bibles. This is one that I've been bringing to worship a lot, and it's so worn out. Look at that. It's starting to rip. But it's really special to me. And this one is teeny tiny, but it's actually in Greek, which is the original language it was written in. I really can't read it. But, you know, I love the Bible. And I still have so many questions about the Bible. So many things I don't understand. But you know what? That's okay. Because we learn together. And God always has things to show us when we read the Bible together. So as you grow up, as you go to Sunday school, as you start reading your Bible, just ask any question you want to ask. Pray about it, think about it, and you'll never grow tired of this book. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for the Bible. It has so many different kinds of stories and poems and letters, and it can be complicated and hard to understand at times, but we know that you reveal yourself to us in it, and it can help us learn about your love for us and your love for all the world. So today we thank you for the Bible, and we thank you most of all for your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go to Children's Church with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Stacy. Yeah, and the rest, if you can go back and sit down with friends or parents and grandparents. Well, if this hadn't been a holiday week, I might have had the motivation to come in Thursday or Friday and build a big finish line for us to have up front, because we have crossed the finish line. If you've been worshiping with us for a little while, you know that we have been reading the Bible together this year from cover to cover. And today we land in the last chapter of the book of Revelation. And I'm so grateful to Derek, whom I contacted several months ago, to ask if he would be willing to present these last words of the Bible in a dramatic fashion, if he could memorize it and present it as a drama, because Revelation is a dramatic book. And it comes to an amazing crescendo right here at the end. And what a powerful way to bring this time of reading the scriptures together to a close. So where do we end up at the end of the book of Revelation? Well, it starts in chapter 21 and goes through chapter 22, this final grand vision that was given to John of Patmos. Chapter 21 says, "And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and God was doing a new thing." And when we get to the next verses, it talks about how every tear shall be dry. There shall be no more war, no more poverty, no more suffering, but all shall be made right and well. And we get to chapter 22, and there's a vision of the city of God. And through the streets flows the river of life that never runs dry. And over it is the tree of life with 12 kinds of fruit. That's a special number that means complete. That there's enough fruit for the whole world. And the leaves of that tree are for the healing of the nations. So we have this vision of God's intent for the world, that there would be no more war, no more poverty, that all the nations of the world would live in peace, that there would be healing and prosperity and the flow of living water forever and ever and ever. Amen. And so the book ends with the tree of life. The book also began with the tree of life. Isn't it the amazing work of the Holy Spirit that this last book of the Bible that almost didn't get included ends with the same image with which the whole story begins? We remember that first tree of life, right? We have at the beginning and the end this imagery of God's intent for the world. And it starts in Genesis chapter 2, the second creation story, in the garden with the tree of life. In that story, we see how God has created all things to be in right relationship. God creates a human being. He is named Adam. And God creates all the animals, and Adam gets to name all the animals, and God creates another human being to be in partnership with Adam, and Adam and Eve are in right relationship with God. They walk daily with God in the cool of the day. They are in right relationship with themselves. Even in their nakedness, they are not ashamed. They are fully accepting of who they are and how God created them to be. They're in right relationship with each other. They live in peace and harmony and love together. And they're in right relationship with all of creation, naming the animals and tilling the soil and tending the garden. So all things are in right relationship until, we know what happens in chapter 3, right? The tempter comes, and in the story it's in the form of a serpent. And the tempter begins to whisper in their ears that maybe this God that they're in relationship can't quite be trusted. God hasn't told you everything, you see. You'd be better off if you ate that fruit that's forbidden and put yourselves in the place of God. And so they do. They eat the fruit. They trust themselves more than they trust the God who created them. And suddenly everything shifts and is broken. Their relationship with God is broken. When God comes looking for them, they hide. They hide from God. Their relationship with themselves is broken. They look at themselves now as they were created, and they are ashamed. And they want to cover themselves and hide themselves from each other. Their relationship with each other is broken. We know what happens when God comes and finds them and says, "What have you done?" What does Adam say? "That woman you gave me." Now starts the blaming her, blaming God. And then she says, "That serpent you created." Again, the shame, the blaming, the brokenness, the sin. And their relationship with creation is broken. Now they have to till the soil with the sweat of their brow, and the serpent and the humans will be at enmity with each other. And they must leave the garden, leave the paradise that God has created. But you know, God goes with them. God gives them something to wear, to cover, and God goes with them. And you could say that the whole rest of the story is the history of God pursuing humankind, trying to bring humankind back into right relationship with God and with each other and with creation. God calls Abraham and Sarah and wants them to be a blessing for the whole world, that their descendants would be a people who would bless the whole world with their special relationship with God. God gathers the people at Mount Sinai and gives to them the Torah and shows them the way of life. And yet again and again, we human beings turn from God. We turn away. We choose other gods. We choose other paths. We don't put our trust in God, and yet God continues to pursue and pursue. We come to Psalm 23, where it says in the last line, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." A better translation of the Hebrew there is, "Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me, shall chase me down all the days of my life." God continues to pursue us. And every now and then we hear in the scriptures someone who steps out and says, "Here I am," who comes out of hiding to do God's will, whether it's Moses or the prophets or the judges. And then we come to the New Testament, where we as Christians believe God has fully revealed God's desire for right relationship in the person of Jesus Christ. As we see and hear the teachings of Jesus, see his healing power, and see the extent to which God will go to claim us. We see Jesus pursuing the way of love and grace and mercy until ultimately it leads to his arrest. And then we see him kneeling down in a garden, praying to God that God would remove this cup from him, but if not, not my will, but yours. He being one who could pray that prayer that others could not. Not my will, but yours, undoing the work of Adam and Eve in the garden. And he gets up from that place of prayer in the garden and is ultimately hung on another kind of tree. But somehow in that moment of Jesus' death and resurrection, he takes upon himself all of the brokenness and sin and turning away of all humankind for all time, redeems it. And then on Easter morning, he rises from the dead, and the work is finished. God has made all things right. And it is no accident that the Gospel of John tells us that this all happens in a garden, and that Mary Magdalene mistakes Jesus for a gardener. Somehow we're taken back to that place of God's intent for the whole world from the very beginning. And so now we, as those who follow the way of Christ, see this final vision from the book of Revelation, this place where we have not yet arrived, but this hope of God that there is that day coming when all things will be made right and the healing of the nations. And we see that we live in these in-between times. That's what the season of Advent is actually all about. So we're getting a little preview. In the season of Advent, we remember that day is yet to come, that God is still working to reconcile all things to God's self, and that we have the first fruits of it in Jesus. And as we prepare for celebrating his birth, we also prepare for the final coming and the end of all things, when all will be made right with the world. Isn't it a beautiful thing, as we look at this image from the book of Revelation, that the tree of life is now in a city? Isn't that curious? It's as if this vision is now taking all of the work of human hands, and God is incorporating all of that into a new heaven and a new earth. It makes me feel that this vision asserts that our work matters, that what we do as human beings in this life makes a difference and is part of the reconciling, healing work that God is about in our world. That we as the people of God are called to be building a world where there is no more poverty, where there is justice and freedom for all, where there is abundance and enough for all people, all nations to flourish. Perhaps that is the work that is before us. So we see that God calls us to be in right relationship with God, to recognize that we are God's beloved, that in our relationship with God there is no need, no room for any shame, but that we are called to be who God created us to be, already loved, already accepted. We are called to be in right relationship with ourselves. We're called to be in right relationship with each other and with creation, and to be part of the good work that God is doing even now to reconcile and heal the world. You know, the Bible ends with the book of Revelation. At some point in the 4th century, the Christian community decided to close the book, to pass it down as it is, Genesis to Revelation. But the story's not over. God is still writing the story of love and grace for all humankind, and each one of us gets to participate in that story. You have a chapter, and you have a chapter, and you have a chapter, and I have a chapter, and together we have chapters to write. So my friends, may we go from this experience of reading the book together to living the life together and healing the world together. Thanks be to God.
Friends, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit and to join with me in reciting the affirmation of faith, the statement of Canada that is found in your bulletin or on page 883 of your hymnal. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, and life and death and life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to take your seats at this time to remind us that we are a community of care and prayer, and that we as your pastors value the way that you invite us to be praying with you throughout the week. If you would wish to leave a prayer request, you can follow the appropriate links online, or you can leave a prayer card. It's in the pew right in front of you. Fill that out and leave it in the offering basket in the time of offering, and it would be our joy to be praying with you over the course of the week. I do want to bring your attention to a number of pastoral care concerns within the life of our church. First, that Fred Wheel Ted Lazenby passed away on November 15th, and services were held for Ted on November 21st at St. George's Episcopal Church. We ask you to be praying with Daryl, Jeannie, Aiden, and Miles Watson as they mourn the death of Daryl's father, Daryl Everett Watson Sr., who passed away on November 18th. Services were held yesterday in Dover, Tennessee. As we move to the prayers of the people, friends, I invite you to join in the petition with me by responding, "Hear our prayer as I say, Lord, in your mercy." The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of glory, you sent Jesus to be our prophet and our priest and our king, and you show us his face in the face of those on whom the world turns its back. As the tempted Christ was hungry in the wilderness, make yourself known to all who search for food, especially those in our city who struggle to piece meals together, either for themselves or for their children. Lord, in your mercy. As the crucified Christ was thirsty, hanging on that tree, reveal your love among those who lack clean water or a means to appropriately quench their thirst. Lord, in your mercy. As the infant Christ was a stranger in Egypt, manifest your presence through any who are pilgrims near and far. and especially amidst the refugees of war in Israel, Gaza, and Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, as the newborn Christ was naked in the manger, live in all who experience shame and exposure. Comfort in particular those who in the holiday season are reminded that they are not truly known or embraced within their families. Might they know the assurance of your grace and never-failing love through your family, the church, and through holy friends. Lord, in your mercy. As Christ in his passion was sick to the heart in Gethsemane, declare your grace among those who suffer in body, mind, and spirit. Lord, in your mercy. And as Christ under judgment was a prisoner to Pontius Pilate, be with all who are incarcerated by folly, injustice, or fear. Lord, in your mercy. Renew your church by making it resemble Jesus, our crucified King, our Savior, our Lord, our closest friend, who is teaching us to pray his prayer as together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God's generosity never runs dry. The streams of God's loving mercy continue to flow forth in our lives and to spill forth from our lives through our giving and generosity. At this time of offering, might we give generously to the God who always provides abundantly far more than we could ever possibly ask or imagine.
From the beginning of time, God has been writing a story of love, and we get to be part of that story. Go and tell the good news of God's love to all, that the world might be changed. Amen.